From the newsrooms of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, this is Please Explain. I'm Tori Maguire and it is Monday, May 18. For the duration of the COVID-19 crisis, Please Explain is coming to you 5 days a week. Since yesterday, nationwide, 9 new cases of coronavirus have been confirmed. I'm joined now by The Herald's education editor, Jordan Baker. Welcome back to Please Explain, Jordan.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for doing this on your day off.
Oh, it's a pleasure to escape my children for 10 minutes, Tori.
Yours aren't back at school yet?
They are some days, but not fully. But, you know, everyone I know in the parent body of New South Wales is hoping for next Monday. I believe yours are going back next Monday.
Yes, they're there part-time now. One's there today, one's not.
Right. We're getting there, though.
It's a very complicated equation. Can you give us a bit of an overall view of the situation with schools at the moment as it stands?
So in New South Wales, we have a situation in which in the public school system, all kids are going at least one day a week. Year 12s are going more. In the private school system and in the Catholic school system, a lot of schools are taking kids back more than one day a week. Some public schools are also doing more than one day a week. We've gone from a position of, gosh, could schools possibly go back, to schools actually going back a lot quicker than everyone would have thought a month ago even. Queensland schools are back full time on Monday. Victoria starts bringing its students back on Monday. And, you know, we are anticipating, although New South Wales hasn't confirmed it, that New South Wales public schools will go back full time on Monday. A lot of private schools are. So a lot of the big private schools are bringing their students back full time from Monday in Sydney.
So, Jordan, it was only a few weeks ago that premiers, even in New South Wales, where even though they had a plan for rolling out schools, everyone was saying, we're not in a hurry, it could all be, you know, term two, working remotely. Were they doing expectation management or did the circumstances change?
I think there was a bit of both. I think that, I mean, this whole thing, and in fairness to everybody who has been running an education system, has been running a school, has been running a train system, there is no playbook in this. We just don't know. So a month ago, I think there was a sense of, let's go slowly, slowly. We don't know what the numbers are going to look like. There was also a question of confidence. Like, are parents confident enough to send their kids back? And maybe if we just start slowly, we'll start building up that confidence. I think what we've actually seen, though, is that there has been a big rebound in confidence from the parents of Australia. So, you know, this has meant that this can happen more quickly than they thought it would. The other thing is, obviously, with schools, though, is that they are key to activity. You know, there's a lot of parents who have not been able to either work or run businesses or do their full capacity of work because they've had children at home. A lot of businesses have sort of effectively paid a bit of a productivity tax, I suppose you could say, in the fact that their employers have just been spread very thin in terms of looking after their kids and doing their jobs. So as with schools going back to normal, things elsewhere in our community can also go back to normal.
That story actually played out in the figures released by the ABS last week on unemployment, with the huge number of women that actually left the labour force in April. So they're not even looking for jobs because they're too busy having to look after their children.
It was very interesting, and I'm sure someone is doing a PhD, I hope they are, in the gender dynamics that happened when schools closed down. I mean, there was a woman up the road from me who closed her cafe because she had to look after her son. It seems that a lot of women have taken the primary role in the homeschooling situation. And I mean, there's probably a lot of factors behind that. I mean, you know, in some families, it was just a decision as to whoever had the more secure job was the one who did the most homeschooling, because a lot of families would prioritise the least secure job. Or they would prioritise the job of the main breadwinner over the part-time person. For whatever reason, it's been an interesting experience for a lot of families. Mm.
It's really only been about 8 weeks, including the school holidays. It's felt like about 8 months. And yes, it is a big relief that, you know, there was a period early on in this pandemic where we were looking down the barrel of kids not coming back to school until term four.
Yes.
Which None of us could comprehend the horror of that scenario until now when it's starting to lift after 8 weeks. Jordan, what are the schools having to do differently to accommodate social distancing while having all the kids come back?
So this is still a bit of a work in progress. What principals have been saying to me is that the students at school, no matter how old they are, have no concept of social distancing. You know, the kids are all over each other. The fact is that the chief health medical officers have said that social distancing doesn't need to apply to schools, that students are not sort of big vectors of the disease. They're more concerned about teacher-to-teacher transmission. So a lot of schools have had to take steps in order to ensure that there's not too many adults on the premises. So for some schools, it means schools used to be, and I loved dropping my kids at school and picking them up because I got to have a good old chin wag with the other mums. That's off now. Schools are just getting people to drop the kids off at the gate. There's trying to not have too much teacher interaction, you know, like there's not a big sort of dissension on the staff room at lunchtime, that sort of stuff. So they have to change their methods with adults more than anything else. And that has flow-on effects to things like PNCs. I mean, a lot of PNCs haven't been able to have their AGMs because you have to have a meeting in person. So all those things are being looked through and worked through. The public transport issue is going to be another one, I think, that's going to be tricky, particularly in Sydney. I mean, the government's sort of saying our public transport is on the speaking of small children, you have to go, darling. I'll come and help you in a second. The public transport system is already at effectively safe capacity for at the moment. And when you bring schools back, there are a lot of kids who use public transport and they can't travel outside the peak because they start at 9 or 8:30 or whatever it is. So that's going to be one to watch as well, I think.
How worried are the industry leaders that you're talking to about being the one in charge of the first cluster related to a school?
Look, I don't think that's something that is being – I mean, everybody has that in the back of their mind, although at my supermarket on Saturday, a lot of people seem to have forgotten it. I think there's a lot of, I'm really noticing a lot of people who seem to be very relaxed about it. But we have had cases in schools already. We had a few cases in schools before they effectively closed in late March. So the process has happened. We know that there will probably be more, but we also know that the health and the education systems have now dealt with a few of those. So they act pretty swiftly to shut it down, to trace close contacts, to clean the schools, etc. There's more cleaning in New South Wales schools at the moment. You know, they've all got their sanitizer and their soap and all that sort of stuff. So as much as it can be done is being done to make sure that, you know, everyone tries to keep as hygienic as possible.
What about managing the difference in some kids will have been very diligently supervised during the last 8 weeks. Some kids will have spent the whole time in front of the TV.
Yes.
How big a problem is that going to be for the teachers? Or is it just a relatively short period of time? Like there shouldn't be too much gap between where kids are coming back.
Well, I think it would depend a lot. Firstly, the gap isn't enormous. It's nowhere near the 6 months that we had originally feared. So you basically got 2 weeks before the end of the holidays, then about 4 weeks after. Remote learning is not ideal, but some kids have thrived. You know, the kids who are very self-motivated, the kids who might for whatever reason be shy at school or afraid of asking questions have actually found that really liberating. A lot of kids who can focus and be diligent have done really, really well out of this. And then, of course, there'll be the kids whose parents haven't been able to do anything, the kids who haven't had adequate resources. But because there's only 6 weeks, I don't think a lot of people are going to see that this is going to be a huge problem. Teachers have ways of sort of assessing where kids are up to anyway. They do that at the beginning of every school year because every kid will come into the class with different capacities. There are always huge ranges of capacities within a classroom anyway. They're pretty good at working this sort of stuff out. I think a lot of parents will be anxious about it. I think a lot of parents are going to be asking those questions of the schools and of the school systems. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of answers they give. Mark Scott, who's the head of the Department of Education, on Friday at an inquiry said that, you know, he expects that schools will be doing sort of, you know, what they call formative assessments, which is working out where kids need to go next, and that, you know, they'll be reporting back to parents at the end of this term. The normal A to E reporting isn't happening this term, so schools will be doing sort of abridged reports, but hopefully they'll give us a bit of a sense of where the kids are at. Because I think a lot of parents may not need to be anxious, but I think they are.
Yeah. Look, I think that applies to a lot of parenting. Finally, Jordan, I just wanted to ask about the poor darling Year 12 cohort who would have been on quite the emotional roller coaster after the last 8 weeks. They must be pleased to be back knowing that their final year of school is not all is not lost.
Yes, yes. I think there's a lot of relief. I mean, Year 12 have actually had, they've had a really traumatic time of it. If anyone, I think, you know, I feel bad for the Year 12s. It's not going to affect the top performers in Year 12. So we're talking about the kids who were going to come in the top 10% anyway. Selective high school kids, the feedback I get from selective principals is that their kids have actually really thrived in this home learning environment. They're very, very motivated, very diligent students. Same with that sort of top echelon of private school kid. The ones to watch probably are the ones who, you know, might be in the sort of middle group of Year 12 for whom teaching and learning in a face-to-face context is actually really important, who may not be terribly motivated, who may not be terribly confident learners. So I think the all eyes will probably be on those kids. And, you know, where public schools have been able to, they've taken them back full time just to try and make sure that those kids get as much attention as they possibly can.
Well, thanks for joining me again, Jordan. I'll let you get back to the last days of remote learning.
Thanks, Tori. Speak soon.
Today's episode of Please Explain was produced by David Escort and Amelia Maguire. The journalists, editors, photographers, producers and tech team at The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald are working tirelessly at the moment to cover the COVID-19 crisis factually, fairly and comprehensively. For coverage you can trust, visit our websites or buy our papers. To support our journalism, you can subscribe via our homepages or just search Subscribe, The Sydney Morning Herald or The Age. I'm Tori Maguire. Thanks for listening.